In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you have promised, make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is from the second book of Chronicles, the 28th chapter. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the army that came to Samaria, and said to them, Look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves. But are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and return the captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshillemoth, Jehezekiah, the son of Shallum, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who came from the war, and said to them, You shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name rose up and took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them, and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the third chapter. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Jesus, thy boundless love to me no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart to thee, and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am, be thou alone my constant flame. O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. O may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, and my crown. All coldness from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought, beloved. This love unwearied I pursue, and dauntlessly to thee aspire. O may thy love my hope renew, burn in my soul like heavenly fire, and day and night be all my care to guard this sacred treasure there. In suffering be thy love my peace, in weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? After the parable, Jesus said, So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. There is a disease plaguing the church and her Christians in this modern age. It is an infectious disease that has crept in. It is more deadly than any disease known to man. It is more destructive than any cancer, more ravenous than any infection, and more insatiable than any virus. This disease is called apathy. The young lawyer caught this disease. He is an expert in the law, but not an expert in the disease his misplaced devotion has caused. The law imposes limits even as it makes demands. It sets boundaries within which acts are to be performed for the sake of self, living in this manner, by the law, and thus for the sake of self, creates the perfect petri dish within which selfishness grows, and from selfishness, apathy. Here is the selfishness. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He desires salvation for himself. Who does he care about but himself? Whose salvation does he desire but his alone? Does he care for the salvation of his neighbor, or his countrymen, or his region, or his world? He does not. He cares for himself. But even above and beyond this, his question is not motivated by curiosity or even by sincerity. He is an expert in the law, a lawyer. He does not need someone else to explain the law to him, nor does he need another's instruction in righteousness. He knows he has it all. He is, after all, an expert. St. Luke records the true motivation behind his question. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. His motivation is a desire to put Jesus to the test. He wishes to tempt Jesus into speaking falsely, discrediting himself, and proving that he is just as much a fraud as the other religious experts claim. This question is asked with the language of salvation, but not with the desire for it. The word saved is asked, but only in theory. This is an apathetic use of the law. When Scripture ceases to be inherently practical and life-giving and becomes instead something theoretical, an old book, proffered advice you might choose to follow for a better life, if that is what Scripture becomes, then it is all lost. Not only is the gospel lost, but the law as well. The law, in theory, is nothing more than a checklist. Do this, do not do that. The bare minimum. Follow these 10 steps to better living. Once you do, you are guaranteed life. See how the rote observance is empty and dead? See how apathetic such an observance makes you? Nothing matters in life or in death but your solitary quest for individual purity based on your bare minimum rote, empty actions. Want to see this desire of apathy hitting close to home? Here is an example. Pastor, what must I do to be confirmed? The problem is already apparent with the state of the question. I just want to get this over with. What do I need to do to be done? Come to midweek. Why? Because that's just what we do. We have all done it, now you have to do it too. Just do it, and when it's done, you can be done. It's just something you have to do. What do I do with my catechism? Just learn it. But why? Because we're Lutherans, and this is just what you have to do to be confirmed. Learn the words of the catechism. Now, let us assume that a child does just this, comes to midweek, begrudgingly, because they have to, commiserates about the experience with sympathetic and apologetic parents, learns the words of the catechism well enough to pass a class, and then puts in the time. Let us also assume that the pastor or parent offers such a poor explanation of the requirement as put forth in the example. The child in question has fulfilled the law. What more can there be to do? The boxes are checked, the hoops are filled, all the requirements are met. Everything the child must do has been done. But what has the child really gained? If this scenario does not seem problematic to you, or if you miss the point of the comparison, here it is spelled out plainly. The law does not exist for the theoretical, for encouraging empty action, or as a dead ladder of pietistic rungs toward heaven. The requirements are not the point, but apathy makes them the point. A symptom of the disease of apathy is qualifications. Not credentials, but the specific definition of terms that permits a looser interpretation for ease of fulfillment. The lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I know that to be saved, I must love God and my neighbor, says the expert in the law. But who really is my neighbor? Apathy is seen in qualifying what is meant by neighbor. Is that law to love your neighbor meant to be anything other than the fullness of what it says? For the apathetic, it must be, because otherwise they cannot be saved. Lower the bar by qualifying until you succeed, and then pat yourself on the back for your success. That is the way of the apathetic. To illustrate this in the contemporary again, take this example. Learning the catechism is too difficult for our children. So is learning the liturgy. We also have conflicts on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings, so we cannot come to class. The classes are also too long, and they run for too many weeks for us. Please consider altering the requirements so that we can make sure our children still get confirmed. Here's another one. Living the Christian life is so hard. I don't want to get up and go to church when I can just watch the live stream from bed. Jesus says, believe, so I don't really need to go to divine service. I don't really need to pray daily, and I don't really need to amend my life at all, just so long as I believe. At that point, what good does it do? Oh, you're following the law. But to what end? And to what good? What good is belief if it is not lived? What good is confirmation if it is not held in high regard or even understood? What good is the bar if it is simply lowered at every whim? Lowering the bar, succumbing to the disease of apathy, caring for the rote actions without any true love or life is an attempt to do just what the lawyer does, justify the self. The problem is that the law as given by God does not leave any wiggle room for that kind of monkey business. In order to get there, you must change the law of God at worst, and at best, simply drown it out and choose to ignore it. Apathy plagues the church. The justification of self runs rampant in direct opposition to the words and working of Christ. This is a ravaging disease that brings only death. For the justification of the self might work before man, but not so in heaven's court. The disease of apathy is highly contagious, and once contracted, it never goes away. But it can be treated right here. This is the Lord's hospital. What you need to combat the disease within you is a healing word of absolution, a strengthening encouragement from the gospel and from the law. And above all, you must receive a transfusion. Out with the old, in with the new. Rid of the bad, replaced with the good. Little by little, new blood pumps through you. It is living blood that flows of its own accord within you, strengthening you against apathy, justifying you by grace apart from the works of the law, and transforming you into those who truly do love God and the neighbor, and can then truly be saved and live. Your treatment is ready, children. You all have the disease, but let not the disease overwhelm you so that you do not desire your treatment, but love it and cherish it. And above all, let it have its way with you. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in our Lord Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the Spirit to preserve the Church, His own creation, for defense against all heresies and schisms, for peace and unity, for strength of faith, resolve of will, and boldness of confession among all Christians, for a right desire for purity and sanctity, for Christ to dwell in every home by prayer, and for an increase in devotion among the saints of God, let us pray to the Lord. For the people of Christendom, that residing within the Church, they would inhabit a city of God set apart from the world. For all bishops and pastors, that they would remain steadfast in their callings to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments faithfully. For an increase of laborers to send into the harvest, and for the strength to rebel against the spirit of this age, let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer for the sake of the gospel, that the body of Christ, yet separated by land and sea, may remain united in fasting, prayer, and devotion, resolving in faith to lose all for the sake of Christ, thereby gaining the treasures of heaven, following the example of faith set by all the blessed martyrs, let us pray to the Lord. For a spirit of love and charity to abound within this nation, for prosperity and peace, for an end to all sedition, rebellion, hatred, and scorn, for wisdom to all who rule, especially to Joseph, our president, and Michael, our governor, that they may lead in honesty for the betterment of our people, for truth and justice, for the defense of the innocent, and for concord among all nations, let us pray to the Lord. For deliverance from every sin, error, evil, discord, and strife, for an end to all war and bloodshed, for the work of God to chasten and to heal, for true humility in faith, for the conversion of the pagans and the return of the apostate, for the destruction of the proud and the upright, and blessing to the meek, and for forgiveness and repentance to our persecutors, slanderers, and enemies, let us pray to the Lord. For mercy to the sinful, for provision to the innocent, the widow, the orphan, the homeless, the abused, and the needy, for the comforter to heal the downtrodden, to raise up the brokenhearted, and to embrace all victims of violence and suffering, especially on this anniversary of great tragedy, let us pray to the Lord. for the defense of the innocent and the just, for our youth, that their learning may be safeguarded from the blasphemy of worldliness, and for all teachers, that they may be encouraged in all right endeavors to educate the youth in all truth, with all integrity, and against all falsehood. And for the protection and preservation of them all, let us pray to the Lord. For the healing touch of Christ, our good physician, for the hands of Christ's healing work, all doctors, nurses, surgeons, emergency responders, and all other medical professionals, for all who suffer ailments of body or soul, especially Sherry, Pam, Doug, Shirley, Judy, Nancy, and David, for those near death, for comfort to those who mourn, and in eager expectation of the last day and the return of the Christ, let us pray to the Lord. We give you thanks, Holy Father, for your holy name, which you have caused to dwell within our hearts, and for the knowledge of faith and immortality that you have made known to us through Jesus, your servant. Remember your church, O Lord, to deliver it from all evil and to make it perfect in your love. From the four winds gather the church that has been sanctified into your kingdom, which you have prepared for it. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.